So last week we celebrated Pentecost Sunday, the celebration where the Church of Jesus Christ celebrates the power of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, empowering and equipping and enabling the church to be able to do the work and the ministry of Jesus Christ in the earth. We know that when Jesus, he said, it's imperative that I go away. It's important that I go away. I must go away because while I'm here, it's just me. But when I ascend, I'm going to give gifts unto men, and I'm going to, through my spirit that's being imparted to you, I am going to equip you for the work of the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so the day of Pentecost is the day when we celebrate the baptism of the Spirit, the endowment of the gifts, the endowment of the power of God, the presence of God in the life of the believer in a greater way. We know that when we accept Christ as our Savior and we're born again, truly born again, taking on the character and the nature of Christ himself, not just in word, but in nature, we take on his character. We begin the process. We know when we're born again because we have a hunger and a desire to know God. We have a hunger and a desire to be able to walk with him. We begin to lose those sinful desires and we remove those out of our life. That's how we know we're born again, because we no longer desire and pursue after the ways of the world or the things of the world. We don't want to think like the world or even act like the world. We want to know God in a greater way. So that's how we know that we're born again, is because we have put off the old man and we have said no to the sinful ways of our flesh, and we receive the Spirit of God, and then we're baptized in the Spirit of God in a greater measure to do the work and the ministry of the gospel. So the Spirit actually comes and dwells within us. The very deposit of God's nature inside of us through the Holy Spirit. When you think about it, it's powerful. His nature has been deposited into your spirit. And his nature is now clearing out that soulish realm, the mind, the will, and the emotions, transforming it, sanctifying the mind, the will, and the emotions, so that you can begin, by the Holy Spirit's indwelling in you, begin to talk like God, act like God, live like God, walk like God, so you can be God's ambassadors in the world. And not only did he fill you with his spirit, his very life, that's just amazing. It's just exciting. I mean, when you think about it, I have God living inside of me, a deposit. That's what the Holy Spirit is, the presence of God inside of your life. Great. That's why in the scriptures it says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's why the scripture says, if the same Spirit who rose Jesus from the dead lives in you, he will quicken your mortal bodies. The Spirit of God is living inside of you. That's why you can't let your flesh tell you you're defeated. That's why in that song today it says, we don't go by the sight. We don't go by our feelings. We don't have the privilege as being children of God to ask our feelings how we feel, because they're going to lead us astray. Yes, we have feelings, and the Lord gave us feelings. That's how we feel God's Spirit. That's how we feel God's presence. But when the enemy uses our feelings to sabotage us, when the enemy uses our feelings or our mind, have you ever heard a negative thought come into your mind, and you know that that was not of God, that that was not a good thought, and you've had to say, I reject that thought. I renounce that thought in the name of Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit bringing awareness that other spirit that's trying to talk to you, the spirit of the world, the spirit of the enemy, is not of God. And you're countering now the Holy Spirit saying, no, I will not receive any word that is not of God.
I will not receive, I will not allow the enemy to use my feelings, my mind and my will and my emotions to dictate to me the way I'm to live my life. And it's something you have to do every second of every day. You don't put your armor down when you're in a battle. You don't put your sword aside when you're in a battle. You don't throw away the very armor that you need to fight. And you never can get to a place where you take it off. But if you go through situations in your life, like when I lost my mother, or when you've lost a loved one, or when you've had a situation like that where your emotions are raw and they're very sensitive, you can trust in the mercy of God to keep you. And whenever I feel an attack at my lowest place, I will go to the Lord and I will say, vindicate me of my adversary. Your blood covenant gives me the right to be defended in my lowest place. Your blood covenant says that my enemies are your enemies and your enemies are my enemies. That blood covenant says, I will defend you, fight for you, I will heal you, sanctify you, I will bring you to the Father spotless and without blemish. That is the promise of the blood covenant. So when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard against it and it will not prosper. So you can see the strategies. Can you see the strategies? He said, I'm not going to leave you here alone. I'm not going to leave you orphans. No, I am going to come in the spirit and fill you up with myself, enabling you and giving you the ability to be able to overcome the adversary. That's why in Revelations it said, you have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony, because you love not your life unto the end. You do not love it more than you love God. You are victorious. That's why Paul said, to live is Christ and to die is gain. That's why he also declared that I have been crucified to this world and this world has been crucified to me. I have died to this world. I live unto Christ. He didn't leave you here without help. He didn't leave you here without hope. He didn't leave you here to do battles alone. No, he gave you exceedingly great gifts. He exceedingly blessed you with his presence. And he gave you the ability to overcome the circumstances of your life so that you can go with God and have victory. That's why it says that we are more than conquerors. We're more. Why? Because Christ has already given us victory, and we now walk in the victory that he has given us. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. We have gained a surpassing victory through who? Through the blood of the Lamb. We draw our strength from him and through the Spirit of God. And that's why we're never without help. No matter how low or how dark, we're never at a place where we don't have help or hope, because we have Christ. The world is reeling, spiraling, because they don't have hope. And many in the church are not drawing from the Spirit to give themselves strength. They're walking in carnality and they're looking at things from a carnal standpoint, and they're not walking in the victory that Christ has given them. They're not applying it to their life. They're not appropriating it through the blood and through the covenant, and therefore they're struggling because they're not walking in the Holy Spirit. You're not under the old law. You're under the law of the Spirit, and the Spirit gives life. So we have the Holy Spirit. That's the celebration of Pentecost. And we need to celebrate Pentecost every day of our life. Because I don't know what I'd do without the Spirit of God every day speaking to me, every day encouraging me. Every day, even if it's on a silent day when I don't necessarily hear God, I am aware of His presence within me and upon me. Every day. I know that He lives. Because He lives, I live. And His Spirit lives in me and He lives in you. That's why you're more than a conqueror. He not only gave you His Spirit, but He gave you gifts. He gave you gifts. Next week, I'm going to have a gift analogy to give those who don't have it, who have never done a gift analogy. What gift do I have from the Holy Spirit? But let's read 1 Corinthians 12 and 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Very important. Concerning spiritual gifts, I do not want you to be ignorant. He does not want us to not know about the spiritual gifts that He has given the church, His saints, His people. The Amplified says it this way, now about the spiritual gifts, the special endowments of supernatural energy. Brethren, I do not want you to be misinformed. King James says ignorant. I don't want you to be ignorant about these super endowments of energy. You think I can do this in my own strength? No, I feel the energy of the Holy Spirit. I feel the energy of God. I was tired when I got here this morning. I don't feel tired now. I feel like I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. When you get in the anointing, when you get in the presence of God and the Spirit of God, you turn into a new person. You turn into, all of a sudden, you know, you just got energy. It's supernatural energy. It's endowment. It's power from on high. I get excited. My son, he came last week to church, and I said, what did you learn from church? And he goes, I don't know, Mom, it was about the Holy Spirit. And I said, that's right. And he goes, Mom, you shout, you're loud. And I said, I know. I get so excited. I get so excited about God. I feel the energy of God when His presence comes. And I can do one of two things. I can shout, jump, leap, or cry. It's like all my emotions are sanctified in the Holy Spirit. And in any moment, I can just, you know, pray, intercede, cry, weep, jump, run through a troop, leap over a wall, feel like I can conquer the world. In my flesh, I'm tired, but in my spirit, I'm renewed day by day. And I feel good. Do y'all feel good today? God is good. So He's given you special endowments, special gifts. And I'm just going to go over three today. We're going to go over the revelatory gifts. The revelatory gifts. We're going to go over the three revelatory gifts. So if you have paper, you can take notes if you need to or if you want to. This is a great lesson. I'm going to give my credits to whom credit is due. I love Kenneth Hagin, and he teaches on the gifts of the Spirit, probably really, really wonderful, better than anybody. I've listened to him all week long. And this in particular, this study guide here, is from Bob Abramson, who also uses Kenneth Hagin. So I want to make sure that I give them credit for their info. I'll add my own stuff to it. But I like to always give credit to whom credit is due. And he says, the words of wisdom. So let me read you the scriptures, and then we're going to go over the revelatory gifts. In 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. Now about the spiritual gifts, the special endowments of supernatural energy. Amen to that. Brethren, I do not want you to be misinformed or ignorant, as the King James says. You know that when you were heathen, you were led off after idols that could not speak, habitually, as impulse directed, and whenever the occasion might arise. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking under the power and the influence of the Holy Spirit of God can ever say, Jesus be cursed. And no one can really say, Jesus is my Lord,
except by and under the power and the influence of the Holy Spirit. Now, I just want to tell you that many people go around saying, Jesus is my Lord. But to be under the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ, capital L-O-R-D, Adonai, means that you have surrendered your life completely to the lordship of Jesus Christ. You are no longer in charge. God is in charge. God leads your life. He is Lord. He is Adonai. The Bible often uses the form of a slave and a master. Now, we know that in the natural, there were slaves and there were masters. And some masters were good and some were evil. The Bible uses that as an example because as long as men could enslave one another, that's what they did. But we use it as a understanding because we have that awareness of what master and slave is, except it's different when it comes to the lordship. We are bond servants of Christ. We surrender willingly unto his lordship because he is a good master, a good father. That's why that song was so popular. He's a good, good father. So when we say you are our Lord, we are saying there is not a place in my life that you do not govern. Selah. There is not a thought that I do not submit to you. There is not anything that I do that I have not surrendered to you. There, my mouth, governed by God. My body, governed by God. I surrender to your lordship in my life. Because you are my God, you created me, you made me, I belong to you. And I do this willingly because I believe you are the Son of God. You are the ruler of the heavens and the earth and beneath. I believe you, Father, and I am yours. You are my Lord. And if you will surrender yourself to the Lord that way, and if you have surrendered yourself to the Lord that way, he will direct your steps, guide your thoughts. Everything comes under the obedience of Christ. He is the Lord of our life. Now, there are distinctive varieties and distributions of endowments, gifts, extraordinary powers, distinguishing certain Christians. Now just listen to that. There are distinctive varieties and distributions of endowments, gifts, extraordinary powers, distinguishing certain Christians. Due to the power of the divine grace, that's the Holy Spirit, that's operating in their souls by the Holy Spirit, and they vary. But the Holy Spirit remains the same. In other words, there are gifts of the Holy Spirit that God has given to people, and because people are so unique by the Creator himself, that it may flow through me one way, but may flow through you another way. But it's the same Spirit. So, I may give a word of prophecy, and it may be loud and bold, and it may come across in a totally, and then Dwayne may rise to his feet and have a word of prophecy that God has given him, and it comes out through Dwayne in a totally different way. Why?
because we're all different. God made us different, but the gift is still the Holy Spirit and the gift of prophecy. He delights in variety. That's why there's people all over the world of different nationalities, different tongues, different colors. He created people so beautifully. He said, after my image and my likeness did I create them. If you've ever heard of people that have seen heaven, there's lots of color there. The Lord loves lots of color. I'm glad, because I like color too. So he says, I've given you these extraordinary powers through the Holy Spirit. And through one, it's going to act in one way. And in another one, it may come out another way based upon the personality of the person and how God made and created them to be. But it is still one Holy Spirit. And there are distinctive varieties of service and ministration. But it is the same Lord who is served. Different ways of ministering, but the same Lord. And there are distinctive varieties of operation, of working to accomplish things, but it is the same God who inspires and energizes all of them. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, the evidence, the spiritual illumination of the Spirit for good and profit. To one is given in and through the Holy Spirit the power to speak a message of wisdom. And to another, the power to express a word of knowledge and understanding according to the same Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. To another, wonder-working faith by the same Holy Spirit, and to another, the extraordinary powers of healing by the one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophetic insight, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose. And to another, the ability to discern and distinguish between the utterances of true spirits and false ones. And to another, various kinds of unknown tongues. To another, the ability to interpret such tongues. And all these gifts, these achievements, abilities through God, through the Spirit, are inspired and brought to pass by one and the same Holy Spirit, who appropriates to each portion and apportions to each person individually exactly as He chooses. For just as the body is a unit, is a unit and yet has many parts, and yet all the parts through many form one body, so it is with Christ the Messiah, the Anointed One. For by means of the personal agency of the Holy Spirit, we are all, whether Jew or Greek, slaves or free, baptized, and by baptism, united together into one body and all made to drink of the one Holy Spirit. Isn't that beautiful? That we're all part of the family of God, and the Holy Spirit deposits gifts in you and His life in you. And you're a part of the body of Christ all around the world, those who are called by the name of Jesus, who have been born again after the water and after the Spirit. We're all one body, and yet we minister different ways, but it's through the Holy Spirit, the one Holy Spirit. So He's given gifts to us that we operate in, and we have seen these gifts happening from the Old Testament to the New. Because through the prophets, many of the revelatory gifts operated by the unction of the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit came upon them. We have a deposit, a baptism of the Holy Spirit imparted unto us. And He gave gifts unto men. So the word of wisdom,
The word of wisdom. A word of wisdom is a word, a proclamation, or a declaration that is supernaturally given by God. Its purpose is to meet the need of a particular future occasion or a problem, to give wisdom and insight on a situation where you didn't have the answer. All of a sudden, God dropped it in your spirit through revelation, through a word of wisdom. You receive the wisdom of God to know how to deal with that problem and deal with that situation and to bring resolve to it. A word of wisdom inspired by the Holy Spirit. It can also flow in the area, words of wisdom, by dreams and visions. And to me, that is how God moves in me. He will give me an answer to a problem or a situation many times through a dream or a vision. I will have insight into a certain situation that I didn't have insight to before, and He gives me wisdom on the next move, how to do it, what I'm supposed to do. So a dream or a vision can also give you wisdom. And that is the gift of the Holy Spirit, to be able to have wisdom, to be able to work out a situation or a problem, to have, in other words, insight and revelation given to you by God for the situation. It is not revealed through human ability and natural wisdom, but it ignites your logic, uses your mind, and is imparted to you to stimulate that part of your mind that is listening and hearing and responds to God. In other words, it's not something you could figure out. You know, you've heard, I couldn't figure out that on myself. I mean, if God hadn't have given me revelation, I wouldn't have known what to do. Have you ever heard people say that? That's the words of wisdom given by divine revelation. It is God's revelation of His plan and His purpose. His plan and His purpose. You say, well, how does that work? I'm going to give you an example. Many years ago, 2011, it was the spring, 2011. Everything was shaking at that time. There was lots going on. And I was driving back, I remember specifically, driving back from the mall on 64. And somehow, I was thinking about finances. And something came up in my spirit that said, have you submitted your finances to the Lord? Have you ever asked the Lord to submit the finances to the Lord? And I just simply said out loud in my car, I said, Lord, is there anything that you want me to do with my finances? Is there anything that I need to do? And immediately, I had a word of wisdom. I had some resources in the stock market at that time, and the Lord spoke to me, and He said, take everything out of the stock market. Everything. And I was like, whoa! Take everything out. But the word of wisdom, the word of the Holy Spirit, the word of God was so strong, I could not deny the word of the Lord. And how many know that when you hear God like that, you'd rather act because you feel that it's God than be wrong and not obey? You know what I'm talking about? You're going to move because you feel that that's the word of the Lord for you, and it's so strong for you that everybody else around you may be freaking out, but you feel that that word is from the Lord, and you would rather do what God has put in your heart, or what you feel like God has put in your heart, than disobey God, because you love Him so much and you don't want to disobey Him. So at that time, I had quite a large investment in the stock market. I called the man who was over my accounts, and I said, hey,
I need to liquidate everything in my stocks. I need to liquidate my stocks. I want you to liquidate my stocks. And he goes, Rebecca, you don't want to do that. And I said, yes, I do. He goes, no, you do not want to do that. He goes, you don't want to do that. The market's not great right now, but it's going to turn around and you're going to see things change. You don't want to liquidate all your stocks. You don't want to do that. And I said, Bill, I do. And he's, I don't know if he was a believer. I'm not sure. But he might have been after it got done. But at that time, I looked at him and I said, Bill, I don't know if you're, this is, I really felt that the Lord spoke this to me. And I said, and I've got to be obedient to what I feel like God has spoken to me because I do not want to disobey my God. And he said, Rebecca, it's going to take a while to do that. And I said, I don't care how long it takes, just do it. And so he did. 9/11 came. The stock market, and everything I had was spared. Word of wisdom, giving me revelation to know what to do. Just offered, just felt something, small little voice say, have you ever given, ask God about your finances? And he gave me that word. That is a word of wisdom. That gave me an answer and a solution to a problem that I wasn't even aware was going to happen. And the Lord saved me and my finances. Word of wisdom. The next revelatory gift is a word of knowledge. We touched on that a little bit last week. It is not revealed through human ability or natural wisdom. It is God's revelation of his plan and his purpose. Oh, that's the wrong one. Words of knowledge are past or present facts or events that cannot be known through the natural senses. So words of knowledge are past or present facts or events that cannot be known through our natural senses. They are revealed to the speaker or the person by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's a gift, words of knowledge, and their purposes are for edification, instruction, or correction. You can see this operate in Jesus in John 4. We went over that last week. When we talked about the woman at the well, remember we talked about the woman at the well and how that she knew, how that he knew everything about the woman at the well. And that was amazing to her that this man that she had met at the well, Jesus, knew her personal and private business without knowing her. Facts about her life, her past, and her present. So in John 4, I'm trying to see the section I want to read to you. I wanted to give you a scriptural. So if we go in John 4, he's talking to her about, they're sitting at the well. He's talking to her about the water. He is the water and eternal life. And he says this, Jesus says this, but whoever takes a drink of the water that I give him shall never, no, never be thirsty anymore. But the water that I will give him shall become a spring of water welling up, flowing, bubbling continually within him unto and for eternal life. And the woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I may never get thirsty nor have to come continually to the well. She was looking at it from a natural standpoint. At this, Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come back here. And the woman answered, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, you have spoken truly in saying, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the man that you are now living with is not your husband. In this you have spoken truly. So he gave her a word of knowledge. He told her of her past and present situation. This happened also through the prophets in the Old Testament when we read about Samuel and we read about when Saul was called as king. He lost some donkeys and he was sent out, Saul was, to find them. And he found out that Samuel, the seer, was coming, and they thought maybe he could help them find a word give them a word from God that would help him find his donkey. So they looked up the man in the town, and God had already spoken to Samuel that there was going to be a man come to him, and he was going to be the next king. He was going to be the king, the first king of Israel, King Saul. And so when he came to that town, he asked them about where the seer was. And the seer being Samuel, and they said, oh, he's coming in town. You can go over here. He should be coming any time. And he met him, and as soon as he did, Samuel looked at Saul and said, come with me. You're going to eat with me. You're going to have share a meal with me. And then he talked with him, and then he told him what was going to happen. And then he said, you go back this way. You're going to, don't worry about your donkeys. They were found the other day by two men. And then you're going to run into a band of prophets, and they're going to be prophesying, and he told them all these specific details about what was going to happen. So there was words of knowledge given, and there were also prophetic things, a foretelling of things that were going to happen. So two of the gifts, which out of the three revelatory gifts, a prophet has to operate out of two or three of those gifts to be a prophet. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge, the discerning of spirits. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge, the discerning of spirits. Let me say it again. Out of those three, a prophet will operate out of two or three of those gifts. So Jesus was telling her present information, and he was also bringing up things of her past. And when she ran to the city, she goes, come and see a man who has told me everything about myself. Yeah, words of knowledge were meant to cause that person to have an awareness that God exists and knows about their life. Jesus was saying, I know about your life, but I've come to give you an opportunity to have living water forever through believing in Christ the Messiah. It was a tool from the Holy Spirit, a word from the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit to bring this woman to an awareness that she needed Christ. And God has to trust you to be able to give that information. That gift can't operate in your life without a sanctification, so that when God reveals the secrets of men's hearts, that you won't use that in a negative light, but you will use it for the glory of God, and you will use it to help that person know God, to know that God exists. I recently went to a meeting just a week or so ago. Actually, it was last Sunday, Pentecost Sunday. There was a gathering of many of the ministers in a church. And we were there to come together in unity and pray and intercede and listen to the word and be able to gain strength from one another. And there were all different denominations there. It was beautiful. Because we're all one body. That's what he's saying. We're all one body, but we have many gifts. But there's one Holy Spirit. I was in this meeting, was enjoying the presence of the Lord, and they had an altar call for the ministers to come forward to receive prayer. So I went forward to receive prayer. And we did the prayer, and I stepped back a little bit after it was over, prayed for some other ministers that were there, and I stepped down into the alleyway, and there was a lady that was there. And I started hearing things about this woman. And the Lord was speaking to me, and he said, I want you to thank her for being my intercessor. Because of her prayers, many people have known God. I want you to thank her for me. Tell her that the Lord hears her prayers. And I was like, so right as I was getting ready, that's a word of knowledge about her life. I did not know her, had never seen her before in my life. So she gets her purse and she's getting ready to leave because it was close to the meeting being over. And as she stood to her feet, I gently reached over and got her hand. And I said to her, in a whisper in her ear, the Lord wants to thank you for being his intercessor all these years. And she melted like wax, weeping, tears streaming down her face. She began to cry, and as she began to cry and weep, the Lord gave me more information. And he said, you have always sought the face of God. It is God's face that you seek. And he is pleased with you. And he says, you have changed. You have changed many people's life and brought them into the kingdom by your prayers and intercession. And she stopped and raised up her hands and worshiped. And she worshiped for 15 to 20 minutes because intercessors do the silent work of the church that no one sees. And the biggest attack against their mind is, did God hear me? And that day, the Lord was saying to this precious saint, this beautiful woman, I am telling you, you have been stirred by the Spirit of God to pray for my people and my saints, and you have interceded for the souls of mankind and people, and you, because of your prayer and trust in me, many people have come into the kingdom of God, and I have intervened in many lives. And she knew it was the Lord. And I, on my way home, I was like, God, thank you so much. For out of all the people in that room, that you would pick out a little intercessor who has just kept herself in the secret place for most of her life, praying and crying out to God, that you would so love her. That out of all those people, not that he didn't love all those people, but out of all those people, that you would speak to her so personally. Isn't our God beautiful? Because something inside of her needed to hear that day. And the Lord met her where she was and spoke a word of knowledge through me to her. And it changed her whole, she just began to worship. It changed her whole countenance. That's what a word of knowledge can do. Strengthen you, encourage you, help you. Words of knowledge can also be warning words. If you're getting away from God, a person who has the gift of knowledge, the Holy Spirit. Now listen, these all flow. I just want to say this. It's coming up in my heart. These all flow from the fruits of the Spirit. You understand? Because if the Spirit, if the fruit of Christ, right, the fruit of the Holy Ghost is not in your life, what are the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, self-control. There's a few more. If that isn't in you operating, then you can get proud, right? love has to be in you through the Holy Spirit, because you have to feel that genuine love of God for that person. That genuine, you have to operate in those gifts with the fruit of the Spirit. They have to be intertwined. They hold hands. The fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit hold hands. And they operate with and in union with one another. The final one, and we're going to finish up, is the discerning of spirits. Now this one makes people a little nervous. The discerning of spirits. This is the supernatural recognition of the presence or activity of spiritual forces, either good or evil. Have you ever been into a place and you felt that place, something was there that was not? Have you ever, you know what I'm talking about? You just felt this something is not feeling good here. That's discernment, discerning of spirits, being able to discern. And so discerning of spirits is a very interesting part. It's a very interesting gift that the Holy Spirit has given. You are able to discern demonic spirits. You are able to discern God's angels, ministering spirits, flames of fire. And you can discern human spirits. Sometimes when you're around someone who has a spirit in them, not of God, a demonic spirit, you can sense it in their person when you can discern spirits. It says what happens in this gift is that the Holy Spirit will give you supernatural discernment, insight, and revelation and knowledge involving these three kinds of spirits. And many of the times, the gift will be used to fully expose what is really going on and operating in behind the scenes with someone. And so you're able to discern those activities. I'm trying to think of, I have many examples of discerning of spirits. Once again, sometimes you can be around someone and you can pick up that they have turned themselves over, opened a door in, at some point in their life to the occult, to demonic entities that have possessed them, oppressed them from an exterior, and you can sense it. You can pick it up. You have the ability to be able to discern it. And then other times you can sense the, how many sense the presence of the Holy Spirit in this place today? You were able to discern that the Spirit of the Lord all of a sudden. So the Spirit of the Lord can, the Spirit of the Lord is in us, and the Spirit of the Lord can descend upon us, fill a room with the atmosphere, because He is a Spirit. There is no place that He is not. The Bible says that God is a Spirit. And those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. But there are times when it's just tangible. That's why you can feel it. They say in the meetings of Catherine Kuhlman, the most amazing thing about her meetings was that the glory and the presence of God was so strong in her meetings that your skin would tingle. You could feel the presence, you could feel it as if you could reach out and touch it. And she operated in the words of knowledge, being able to declare who was being healed by inspiration of the Holy Spirit in a word of knowledge. So then she would be in those meetings and she would say, somebody right now is being healed of a brain tumor right now, up in that area. That is the gift of knowledge operating. And then the atmosphere was charged with the Spirit of God, and everyone who was in the Spirit felt the Spirit of God. They could discern that the presence, you know, of God was in that place. That's where that song, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. That is the gift of discerning spirits. And that song's all about it. I can hear the brush of angel wings. It's also the ability to be able to see angels and to see demonic entities. Now, not many people are wanting to see demonic entities. We are a spiritual people. Everything we believe is supernatural. It is. And though there is historic evidence and fact that Jesus Christ walked the face of the earth and the whole earth has been changed by Jesus' appearance, Emmanuel, God is with us walking on the earth with mankind, yet He came from a supernatural realm, from an eternal realm, from a heavenly realm, and came and manifested Himself in physical form. That's supernatural. Everything you believe is supernatural if you have faith. So these are the revelatory gifts that God has given to His people to use for the building up of the body of Christ, the building up of the saints. The gifts were given, one Holy Spirit gifts that were given to men for the edifying of the body, for the building up of the church, the expanding of God's kingdom in the earth. And they're powerful. But we don't teach about them a lot. And that's why we're seeing that diminish of the gifts. Because the Holy Spirit, how does faith come? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. What you don't teach, you will not see activated in the people. We must have teaching on the Holy Spirit. He is the agent of God in the earth. Christ is no longer walking the earth. The Holy Spirit is the agent of God in the earth. The one that reveals truth to us and that reveals Jesus Christ. That reveals the Father. That reveals eternity. Everything that has to do with God and His kingdom is now revealed through the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit kissing one another and bringing revelation. Isn't that marvelous? Let's stand to our feet. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the Word of God that brings revelation to us, enlightening our minds and our hearts, enlightening us and enabling us to be able to receive the Word of God and to be able to know you greater and better. To have the revelation of the gifts is to have an understanding of your purpose and your calling. When you know that you have the gifts of the Spirit in you and you know what ones they are, they enable you to be able to fulfill the great purpose that you were created for by God and to help people and help the church come to Christ and receive salvation, encouragement, revelation, understanding. We thank you right now, God, that you have equipped your church, your house, your people with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, as we open up our hearts to you and as we hear these words that were spoken today, we know that there's so much more of you that we haven't experienced. And so, Father, once again, open up our hearts, open up our minds to receive the word of the Lord, to receive the Holy Spirit and His person and His plan for us in the earth. Help us to know what our gifts are, the gifts that you have given us through the Spirit of God, and to grow those gifts and to operate in those gifts for the building up of the body of Christ Jesus, so that your kingdom will come and your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. The saints will be equipped. People will know you through the gifts and the callings and the purposes of the Spirit in our life. We thank you, Lord, that you did not leave us orphans, that you did not leave us helpless, but you gave us your Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, which connect us with God and also connects us with the purpose of your heart. We thank you, Lord. We thank you so much, and we praise you. If there's anyone listening and you have not received Christ as your Savior, Jesus came to the earth and he died on the cross, taking your sins and my sins. He died on that cross for the atonement that was needed for us to be able to have a relationship with the Father. Jesus Christ is the only way that you can have eternal life. And Jesus Christ is the only way that you can have a relationship with the Father and be filled with the Holy Spirit. There is no other entrance into the eternal kingdom except through Christ Jesus. Today is the day of salvation. If you will renounce all other gods, if you will renounce all other ways except Jesus and allow him to be the atonement for your sins. In other words, take your sins upon himself and free you of the guilt of your sins by allowing him to be the Lord and Savior of your life. You can be free and know Jesus, God the Father, the Holy Spirit, and these are one. Right now, today is the day of salvation. May you confess him as Lord, and may you forever be changed. In the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord. I bless the people today. May you pour out your Spirit upon them, and may they go and go forward in the strength of God. In Jesus' name, and amen.